7 times I said that today. Greetings and welcome to the latest edition of the WTF Files with Lewis Shoup. I am Lewis Shoup, or at least I think I am. I still am. Been doing this for 60 years now, so I'm inhabiting the same body. Today is the 14th anniversary of the Citizens United decision that opened the floodgates of dark money and invisible money into our modern political process. And that's going to be a majority of what I'm going to talk about today. In a few moments, we'll be joined by our co-host for this week, Robert Trotner, who's actually quite familiar with this subject, as am I. The case began after a group called Citizens United, a conservative nonprofit organization, sought to air and advertise a film of then-Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton shortly before the 2008 Democratic primary elections. Broadcasting the film would have been a violation of the 2002 Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, which had prohibited any corporation, nonprofit organization, or labor union from making an electioneering communication within 30 days of a primary or 60 days of an election, or making any expenditure advocating the election or defeat of a candidate at any time. The group Citizens United challenged the constitutionality of its law, of this law, and in time it reached the Supreme Court. In a majority opinion joined by four other justices, Associate Justice Anthony Kennedy held that the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act's prohibition on all independent expenditures by corporations and unions violated the First Amendment's protection of free speech, because laws that restrict free speech must be justified by a compelling state interest. An earlier decision had allowed the speech restrictions based on an anti-distortion interest. The majority in Citizens United found this interest unconvincing and insufficient, overruling that case as well as a portion of another case, McConnell versus FEC, which was argued in 2003, that relied on the same interest to uphold restricted corporate spending on electioneering communications. The ruling effectively freed corporations, including incorporated nonprofit organizations, to spend money on electioneering communications and to directly advocate for the election or defeat of candidates. In a dissenting opinion, Associate Justice John Paul Stevens argued that the court's ruling represented a rejection of the common sense of the American people, who have recognized a need to prevent corporations from undermining self-governance. This, long story short, is how the concept of corporate personhood has, in fact, entered into the lexicon of our modern political society, to devastating effects. This decision still remains highly controversial after all these years. Senator Mitch McConnell commented the decision, arguing that it represented an important step in the direction of restoring the First Amendment rights. Of course, he doesn't mind because he gets all kinds of dark money. By contrast, former President Barack Obama had said something different. He stated that the decision gave the special interests and their lobbyists even more power in Washington. The ruling represented a turning point on campaign finance, allowing unlimited election spending by corporations and labor unions, and setting the stage for another decision, SpeechNow.org versus FEC, which authorized the creation of independent expenditure committees, or known differently as super PACs, or political action committees, and for later rulings by the Roberts Court, including McCutcheon and FEC, striking down other campaign finance restrictions. While the long-term legacy of this case remains to be seen, early studies by political scientists have concluded that Citizens United worked in favor of the electoral success of Republican candidates, which is why they love him now. There's another case before the Supreme Court, and I've mentioned this in last week's episode and maybe a few others. Trump, our 45th president, the one who killed millions of people negligently, is appearing before the Supreme Court on February 8th to ask the Supreme Court to allow him to remain on the ballot in violation of the 14th Amendment, Section 3, which holds that if anybody does an insurrection against the U.S. government, that he should be barred from this. And it was during the past week, even, I heard so many different friends of the court brief. There's like well over 20, 30 of them, I think, that were filed, according to Jack Smith. Jack Smith is the lead prosecutor against Donald Trump. And these friends of the court brief come from various people, including Mitch McConnell. Most of the Republican politicians in the House of Representatives, as well as the Senate, and lots of other rich people, including Jamie Dimon, who is a very powerful oligarch, head of like the world's largest bank or something like that, as well as other banker-type people who are pleading the case for Donald Trump to remain on the ballot in violation of our Constitution. And that brings me to one of my questions for my impending campaign for the PA 7th Congressional District. Why is it that our Constitution is considered the highest law in the land, yet it is infringed the most and infringers punished the least? That's a riddle. And I would love to hear your answers on that. You can reach me on Facebook, Lewis Shoup, LewisShupe. I sometimes spell it Louis. It doesn't matter to me anymore. After 60 years, I'm tired of fighting that argument. I'm working on better arguments. So that was just a basic read that I'll admit I read from the first couple of paragraphs of the article that I posted elsewhere in Wikipedia, which describes in about maybe 50 or 60 paragraphs the entire background of the case, the opposition, international ramifications, what journalists, media coverage, and such. But this is going on and has been going on for the past 14 years. If you go on my Facebook, you'll see a picture of me staring to the right. That picture was taken by a reporter at the time for the morning call. Emily Opelio was her name. She's since moved on to better pastures. She took that picture of me as me and my friend Robert were there that night. We were attempting to persuade Allentown City Council to pass a symbolic resolution against Citizens United and in favor of campaign finance reform. Now, at that time, this was on the fifth anniversary of it, so 9 years ago today even. At that time, Ed Pawlowski was our current mayor at that time. And he kind of sort of nixed the idea. And eventually, one thing led to another, and he got popped. The Allentown City Hall got raided by the FBI, and in a couple of years, he was convicted of 47 counts of play to pay. And so he should have listened to me at the time, but he didn't. Now, life gets interesting from there. Of course, since then, we've had Donald Trump all this while. And he is a poster child for all this corruption. When he started his Truth Social up a couple of years ago, most people don't know that it was the Chinese and the Russians who financed him. Let me see here if I made a note about this. Give me a moment. Not that one. Let's see, boom, boom, boom. I have to scroll up. That's a rather lengthy article in and of itself. Bear with me a moment, please. Let's see. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. I don't have that as handy as I thought it was. But I can assure you, these point to other valid sources that are true. And in fact, a lot of people say that this whole Russian disinformation was a hoax. I'm here to tell you otherwise. And they're doing this now. They're investing, I'm sure, in the Republican Party thanks to the fact that Citizens United has now made all manner of campaign contributions dark money. These super PACs, they can be funded by anyone. Harlan Crow is a very famous example. Now, I'm going to hold on here for a moment, see if I can do this right. Can I bring him on? Hello,
oh, hello.
Robert. Hey, there you are.
Yes,
greetings
and
salutations.
It's I.
Hi. I was just getting to the point where we were about to talk about Harlan Crow.
Oh, that great American, sure. The one who donates to Clarence Thomas to change the to determine how he decides his cases.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's a great
Apparently
one.
Apparently so.
He gives them vacations and stuff.
Yeah, that would be Justice Clarence Thomas, who was one of the justices that ruled in favor of Citizens United back in the day. And he's still
mm-hmm.
there after all these
mm-hmm.
years, after all that investment from Harlan Crow.
He's the most conservative justice on the Supreme Court by
mm-hmm.
far, the most ideologically bound. Isn't Harlan Crow, he made his money in oil, I think, but he's one of these billionaires that thinks he can throw his money around and decide elections, which I guess he can, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's actually a real estate mogul. He has been in the national spotlight lately over his penchant for giving undisclosed gifts to Clarence Thomas, private jet trips, mega yacht excursion, and who pays $19,000 for a Bible?
Whoa.
To name just a few of the things he's given Clarence Thomas. Seriously, who pays $19,000 for a Bible? You can get one anywhere. In a motel.
Yeah.
They're put there by the Gideons.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jehovah's Witnesses.
I've seen
sure.
a few of those too.
Yeah.
But yeah,
okay.
This Harlan Crow guy has been giving money to various other things too. According to an interview with the Dallas Morning News, Crow said he considers himself a center-right Republican who believes in bipartisanship and a good debate, though Republicans have received the majority of his money. On the other side of that
mm-hmm.
aisle, he's donated to conservative Democrats, like the group that ended up killing the Build Back Better Act. So, yeah. He's a conservative, all right.
He's not conservative. He's not conservative right. He's far right. That's a lie, and he's not for bipartisanship. That I mean, his whole history says that. He supports very conservative candidates, and he's with No Labels. Is that right?
Yes, he is. I was going to get to that one in a moment. I see here he donated $100,000 to Donald Trump back in 2016, a group created specifically
to
prevent Trump from being elected. Go figure.
Wait. He donated to prevent Trump from.
According to the statement I'm reading, yes. To the Our Principles PAC.
He donated $100,000 against Donald Trump.
Yep. Even though, he appeared not to be keen on Trump. I misread the article. Sorry. That he actually didn't like Trump at first, but now that you're talking about it. He was into No Labels. He was donating to that organization. And No Labels is almost as big a threat now as Donald Trump because they're made up of dark money. They refuse to reveal who their donors are because supposedly they don't want to be revealed. So much so
Well, good reason,
it
like
was
Harlan Crow.
It was revealed today. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was going to mention that this organization called No Labels, it was just revealed today, was taking legal action against a liberal group called MoveOn.org because of supposed intimidation tactics and such. And all MoveOn wants to do...
Yeah, I read that article. All
anybody wants to do as far as No Labels is we just want to see who donates to them. That's all. We want them to be transparent.
Right. Yeah.
And they're not transparent.
But not only are they hiding the list, they're hiding under the 501c3 charitable contribution cover, and their goal is to... It's anti-Trump. It's Harlan Crow is anti-Trump, but very conservative. He probably supported Ted Cruz, I bet, in 2016, who was much more conservative than Trump.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's just trying to... They want to prevent Trump from getting elected, but they don't want... But they want to get a real conservative in there, extreme conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Which all the bankers agree would be Trump, but I was going to mention going to correct you on that one point there. No Labels is actually registered as a 501c4, which allows them to get into political activities.
Yeah,
because if they were registered as a 501c3, they would be prohibited from political activity according to that section of the IRS code.
Okay.
But getting
all
back
right,
to
gotcha.
This for a moment, let's see. No Labels, funded by Harlan Crow, blah, blah, blah. On Thursday announced that it filed a complaint with the Justice Department accusing MoveOn of criminal harassment, extortion, and unlawful conspiracy under RICO, the Racketeering Influence and Corruptions Act, the law often used to prosecute organized crime. That makes me wonder for a moment.
Wow.
I'm getting into my philosopher after a moment here. Couldn't Jack Smith prosecute Donald Trump under RICO? Under the Racketeering and Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act.
Oh, it's a long time since I was in law school. I'm trying to remember the elements. Probably... There's three or four elements.
It would be an interesting legal thing. But going back here, let's see. They've been working towards trying to expose the third-party presidential campaign. They claim it will reinstall Donald Trump in the White House. And depending on who they select, it just might.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they select somebody more liberal, then, yeah, it might suck votes away. Jill Stein is running as a Green Party candidate, and she's threatening to suck away some of the more liberal far left people that would have normally voted for Biden otherwise. But back to this, though, they're suing everybody here. No Labels is going after everybody who's trying to draw them out. And here's the thing, as I said before, all we want is just the list of who's donating to them. For all we know, it could be Russia and China donating to No Labels like they did to Truth Social. And I need to find that section for a moment. What do you think of that?
Wait, say it again. I was looking up the elements of RICO. Say it again what you just said.
I'm sorry. I was asking about No Labels and the fact that they're going after everybody who wants to see...
Oh, I think, yeah. Their whole idea is to get the case deadlock the election and to get it to the House of Representatives where Republicans dominate. Well, they don't dominate, but the way it works is... each state gets one vote. So Republicans, because they have so many states in the Midwest, they have a majority of states, so they have a majority of votes. And they're hoping they can elect a non-Trump, extreme conservative, which is, I think, anathema to the whole Democrat. Nobody knew the Democratic system could be busted until Trump came along, and now all these characters, Harlan Crow and all these guys, Charles Ackman is donating millions of dollars to try to elect a arch-conservative Republican. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a corruption of the whole system. I don't know. I get worked up about these things.
Yeah, so do I. And it all stems from Citizens United.
Citizens United. You can give. That's what Menendez got off on. You can give, if you're a rich guy, you can give all kinds of money to campaign donations to or bribes to to politicians. And this, it's almost impossible. Well, Citizens United, I told you I wasn't good today. My mind isn't good. I'm going off topic. But
the campaign contribution,
they're going to spend $1 billion this year. What did you say? I think you said the other day that Trump is going to have $1 billion, then he's going to have $14 billion in super PAC money. Ridiculous, that kind of money.
Well, he already has command of millions of dollars, as I said, and yeah. With these super PACs that he's got giving him money, we don't know who is funding these super PACs. Like I said, it could well be China. Mm-hmm. It could well be Russia. But let me give you a break here for a moment. I found something I wanted to read off earlier here. This has to do with Donald Trump and how the Chinese financed him. So to facilitate becoming a publicly traded company, a special purpose acquisition company called Digital World Acquisition Corporation was created with the help of ARK Capital, a Shanghai-based firm specializing in listing Chinese companies on American stock markets that has been a target of Securities Exchange Commission investigations for misrepresenting shell corporations. Now, that's something Donald Trump very much knows about. Because he's had all kinds of shell corporations, and in New York State, they're about to strip away $200 million of his personal net worth because of how he inflated his self-worth, saying that he's worth millions and millions of dollars, and here he's probably a slumlord. But if I can go on here for a moment. Led by former Mexican government official and Chinese-based banker Abraham Cinta, ARK Capital's global links included offices in Shanghai, Wuhan, Mexico City, and Jakarta, which Bloomberg News described as surprising due to Trump's comments on various foreign countries in office. Some investors were surprised to learn their investment money was being used to finance a Trump company. The chief executive of DWAC, Patrick Orlando, a Florida-based financier and former Deutsche Bank trader, was also the chief executive of the Wuhan-based Yuhong Holdings, Yuhong International, registered in the offshore tax haven of the Cayman Islands. In an October 2021 SEC filing, the special purpose acquisition company, Yuhong International, stated its goal was to capitalize on growing opportunities created by consumer lifestyle businesses that have their primary operations in Asia. An additional backer of the Trump social media venture, becoming the CFO of Digital World Acquisition, was Brazilian parliamentarian Luiz Phillips of Orleans Braganza, a monarchist aligned with Jared Bolsonaro, who's the right-wing nut who was in charge of Brazil at one time.
Yep.
Oh, what a tangled web he weaves.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it's interesting because obviously Trump, well, first of all, Truth Social went bankrupt. Not that went bankrupt, but the American backers refused to back the company because it was losing money. So they went to China.
I remember.
First of all, they went to the only one who would help them. Second of all, Trump's affinity for Putin is well known. You know, he attacked Ukraine and withheld their military money appropriated by Congress, and he praised Russia and all the Russian oligarchs in Russia. And if he would have had half a chance, he just would have let Russia take over Ukraine by coup, by killing Zelensky. But now he's tied to China. So he's so corrupt, it's unbelievable. He's going to tilt towards Russia. He's going to tilt towards China because that's where his money comes from.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
Just like he did before. If you remember when he was president, he had a sweet deal going with North Korea, Kim Jong-un. And they were all infatuated with each other and such. And then it chilled out. And for a while, North Korea wasn't being belligerent. But ever since Trump lost the election, and he did lose, then North Korea started throwing their arms around again. I'm going to open this up here momentarily. If anybody's out there waiting to call in, the guest call-in number is 515-605-9898. If you go to the link that I've been seeding all over the place, for the Blog Talk Radio episode, it'll have the phone number right there, 515-605-9898. If you want to call in and talk about Supreme Court, Citizens United decision, or if you got something else you want to talk about, my ears are open. 515-605-9898. Now, while we're waiting for that, there was a couple of days ago, I want to mention something different here. I was part of a group called Public Citizen back in the day. Now, back in the 2016, shortly after that election, Jill Stein had paid for and promoted a recount in various places, Michigan, Wisconsin, I believe, and Pennsylvania. I was involved in the Pennsylvania recount back in 2016. And I detail that effort elsewhere on realchange.us, where I made some videos and I took lots of pictures and I explained a lot of what I saw when I thought and thought correctly at the time that Lehigh County used to use electronic voting machines. They don't do that anymore. Now they use hand-marked paper ballots. But I'm still a part of this organization, and 2 days ago, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders came on. I like this guy. But he came on talking about the importance of reversing Citizens United. And the primary method he suggests, and I'm surprised he said this, was through a constitutional amendment. Now, I don't recall exactly off the top of my head what the requirements are, but a constitutional amendment has to be ratified by 3/4 of the states in their legislatures?
Yes.
And then it becomes law. Or a constitutional convention can be called with the same voting requirements. But if a constitutional convention is called, that will open up to the right-wing nuts who will propose this thing or propose that thing, or, God forbid, if they outlaw abortion entirely.
Oh, they've been trying to get a constitutional convention for, what, 10, 15 years now. That's their pipe dream. All their dreams and hopes are tied up with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
515-605-9898 is the call-in number. 515-605-9898. And, yeah, I believe those are the two methods there to get a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, exactly.
But to begin this process, we have to educate the people with the truth and not with what Russia wants, with what China wants, but the actual truth. And that is Citizens United has opened up the floodgates to corporate personhood, which is something I understand.
Yes.
Libertarians like, at least from an official capacity or maybe unofficial capacity, that they're in favor of corporate personhood. And that's where I draw the line with libertarianism. I'm fine with their individual liberties and such. That's cool. But this corporate personhood has to change. And with all the dark money flooding the press, and that's where the money is going, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about money going to the politics. Where does it go? It goes to the press. It goes to newspapers. It goes mostly to television and radio. You and I both know.
Mm-hmm.
We both listen to this conservative radio all the time. Roger Stoner's on WABC a short time ago, and he gets good money for this. He gets good money for this. He gets paid to do this kind of stuff, and so do the media, and that's where the money goes. They do this. They come on these media. They throw their lies around, and people drink this Kool-Aid.
Almost every conservative talk show host on WABC has been to prison, and mostly for
really,
I guess, all for political crime. You know, that's not a recommendation for upstanding radio station.
No, it's not.
Roger Stone was accused. No, but Citizens United. I mean, you can buy elections. A rich guy can buy elections. Rich people, billionaires, can buy elections. Trump is throwing his money around for this election, and he's got. This time he's got sophisticated political consultants that really know their stuff that are really manipulating everything, and that's because the money is like the evil in politics. It's like we don't have a democracy, one person, one vote. We have one corporation, one vote, one billionaire, one vote, 1 billionaire, 100,000 votes. I mean, we got rid of Pulaski for taking bribes. We try to get McDonald, the governor of. Did you mention that this was the anniversary weekend of Citizens United?
Yes, I did several times.
Have you mentioned that? Okay.
So this is the 14th anniversary.
It's a cancer. It's really a
But, yeah, that's how this became the best democracy money can buy, because all this dark money floods politics. They spend this on media to convince people of all these lies that Republicans tell, and people eat this stuff. Then people go on Facebook.
Yep.
Facebook is infested with all kinds of content that throws these lies out in the air. And I see some of my friends post this all the time, every day. And I am an admin of several Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
I just took over 10 more today. 10 more Facebook groups I acquired today because they were abandoned. These were mostly left-wing sites, mostly Bernie Sanders type Facebook groups where the admin had given up. But I encountered so many more that gave up otherwise, and they gave up because of the flood of fake Facebook accounts every day. I see maybe 10, 15 a day through each group that I manage. that want to come on. They're vent cleaning salesmen, for example. They'll offer to clean your vents. Then they'll come in, take your money, and run. All right. There's all sorts of scammers on Facebook. And then there's other people who just want to come on and spread bullshit. And the right-wing groups are especially full of this. And I see this every day. And Facebook does nothing. Mark Zuckerberg right now is building a shelter, a nuclear shelter, somewhere on Maui, I think it is. He's spending $500 million. He's digging a hole in the ground. And he's going to bury himself there. He doesn't care anymore. He's laying off people from Facebook. He's not investing in Facebook anymore. Facebook is dying. And other people are gravitating towards other platforms. The Chinese now have come in with TikTok. They are taking advantage of our freedom of speech. They are taking advantage of our constitutional guarantees, and they're exploiting that. And they're using their manipulation to keep people away from talking about what really matters. And they're filling their heads with bovine manure of epic grades, of epic proportions. And that's the kind of stuff we're fighting against. Elon Musk has taken over Twitter. He's siding with the Republicans. Putin is siding with the Republicans because he gets along with them. He'll get Ukraine, and if the Republicans come back in power, God knows what else Putin will come in and take. And I said this also in 2015. I predicted back then that if Trump were to become president, millions of people would die. I was expecting him to set a nuke off. And I'm knock on metal here for the moment. I'm glad he did not set a nuke off. But I was right that millions of people were dead. I think it's now over 2 million American citizens are dead because of how Trump handled the pandemic, and millions more throughout the world. If Republicans come back in power, millions more will die.
Well, it's probably going to be the end of our democracy.
At that point, I may want to join you and move to Israel. Although, Israel's not much better off. Israel's not much better off.
No,
we've got a right-wing nut named...
Netanyahu isn't going to be there forever. Netanyahu won't be there forever. You know, that's the thing.
No, he won't be there forever. They're not making moves to get rid of him. What can you tell us about, are there any movement to getting rid of Netanyahu? Because he's as bad as Trump.
There's rumors that,
he's almost as bad as Trump.
It's the same thing. It's an international phenomenon. And Netanyahu and Trump are just, you know, the two worst examples. But, first of all, you got to understand that Netanyahu, what he has going for him is that 85% of the people in Israel support, 65 to 70% of the people support going against Gaza to the end, which is a horrible image to me. But that's what he has going for him. What he has against him is only 20 to 23% of the people in Israel support him. He's like at a low ebb because when he got in the government, with a pretty good sized majority, but then he immediately started pursuing policies that the people didn't want. So he's at 23% now, but he's pursuing policies. Now, the government is split. Netanyahu created a national unity government. It included three conservative ministers that are under the control of Netanyahu, and two that are under control of what they call the National Home Party, I think it is, which is Benny Gantz and General Gadi Eisenkot. And now they're split because Gantz and Eisenkot had to make clear that they want to They want to sue for peace to get the hostages back,
mm-hmm.
because their contention is you can win the war or you can get the hostages back, but you can't do both. So they want to cease fire and get the hostages back. So now they're in open. The unity government is split up because now they're in open opposition to Netanyahu. And the question is, and many conservative ministers are asking Netanyahu to have, or pushing to have an election. So, but he doesn't have to declare an election unless he's forced into it. That's the British system. So we'll
mm-hmm.
see. He has a lot of, and Biden is putting a lot of pressure on him, but he's like saying no because he knows the Israeli people like his policy, even though they hate him. So it's a very interesting dynamic, and what's going to happen, nobody knows. But I don't think he's going to be there much longer.
And in the meantime,
yeah.
23,000 people have been killed in Gaza.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going on way too long. It's counterproductive now. The number of Hamas soldiers they're killing is Israeli soldiers are losing many more Israeli soldiers than they are Hamas fighters at this point in time. It's counterproductive, and that's what the United States is trying to tell them.
Uh huh.
But of course. As long as the Israeli people support that Yahoo policy of fighting to the bitter end, and I don't know what the bitter end even means, but it's like a get-out-of-jail-free card because, in theory, he's got a lot of pressure on him, but in theory, he might be able to stay in power until the war is over, and he's saying the war might not be over until 2025, which
mm-hmm.
is unfathomable. But that's his get-out-of-jail-free card. Because he has several corruption cases still pending against him. They've been pending forever. He's corrupt. And he's unfortunately a brilliant political tactician, a brilliant politician, but the worst statesman in the history of Israel. Because everything he touches has been a disaster for Israel, but his politics
he's
always been able to come out on top.
Like he tried
yeah.
to negate the influence of the Supreme Court and the judicial system.
Yes. Yeah, you can't. That's just plain. That's like MAGA House stuff. You know, United States
yeah.
House of Representatives. That's what it's suppression.
Yeah.
And he lost that, thank God. But now they're challenging it again. They're saying the justices were overly influenced by political considerations or something. They're trying to get it knocked out again. But that's when they had 100,000 people marching every week in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem against the Netanyahu administration because he passed those. Try to pass those laws. He passed them.
Mm-hmm.
They were in open rebellion. That's why his popularity cratered.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Netanyahu, of course, is saying not only. Yeah. Yeah. No, I could go on and on. I know. Yeah,
well, let me just read this off for a moment. Netanyahu on Saturday rejected calls for Palestinian sovereignty following talks with U.S. President mm-hmm. Joe Biden about Gaza's future, suggesting Israel's security needs would be incompatible with Palestinian statehood. He's not even going to try. He's not even going to try.
Exactly.
So he wants to integrate them into Israeli society? He's not going to do that either at this point, not with 23,000 Palestinians dead. And
no,
he's
going to have military police on every IDF, Israeli soldiers on every street corner looking for, you know, take try taking away any weapons they find and prevent any military uprising in Hamas. It's going to be an armed garrison. That's what he's talking about.
Exactly, and that's no way for the Palestinians to live. I mean, all this effort towards a two-state solution, and Netanyahu has been resisting and resisting, and he continues to resist. This is only going to end in more bloodshed.
Exactly.
This is going to end
in
more bloodshed. Iran and Saudi Arabia and every other Muslim country is going to help. Is going to want to help out the Palestinians, and this whole thing is going to blow up. And Netanyahu doesn't see it. There's no way out. I don't see a way out.
Yeah, you know, free card. Yep.
This
now,
is
I
sad.
Think as I mean, my I believe as Benny Gantz believes, that General Eisenkot believes, that if they don't have a ceasefire now, Hamas is going to kill all the hostages. That would be a disaster. Both a tragedy, but it'd also be a tragedy for Netanyahu, because that might turn turn the Israelis against him. It'd be one more blunder on Netanyahu's part that came back to bite him. He's blundered throughout his career. From when he came into power in 1990s till now, every major decision he made was a blunder, but he's covered up by politics. But if the hostages were killed, that would change the politics, and Netanyahu would be forced out of office, I think. But I hope that doesn't happen. But I'm afraid. Yeah.
Let me ask you a different question for a moment, since you're quite familiar with Israel and Netanyahu and such. Was Netanyahu financed by dark money?
I think so. There's no proof of it. He's not being charged with that except in an incidental way, but I'm sure of it. Israel has the most stringent dark money laws in the world, far more stringent than the United States, but it's hard to catch. And I have no doubt that billionaire conservative Jewish businessmen often went to Israel to visit Netanyahu and gave him either big checks or cash to finance his elections. Absolutely. I have no. He's a corrupt politician. He's a master politician, but he's corrupt and he's blundering. And I have no doubt. So
well,
that's my answer.
I took a look here while
no
you were
proof.
Talking. While you were talking, I consulted the Almighty Oracle, as I have come to sometimes call Google, and one name pops up: Sheldon Adelson.
That's the guy.
He is the one who is funneling. He is the one who is funneling money to Benjamin Netanyahu, and if you recall, he also until about a year or so ago, he owned the Sands Casino in South Bethlehem.
Right, right.
And he sold
right,
that
exactly.
off so he can concentrate on his empire in Macau, I think it is, somewhere in the Philippines.
Yeah, Macau. He has a lot of he makes a lot of money in Macau. I think he's deceased now, but I could be wrong. But yeah,
I'm not sure if he is or not.
His operation still goes on. His businesses still go on.
Yeah.
But yeah, he owned Las Vegas, Macau, and Bethlehem, and he made billions.
So there's
and
the lesson
I'm sure
for
he
you
gave
for
a
today.
Lot of money.
There's the lesson
What's
for
that?
You today. Then all this dark money is funding the right wing nuts. It funds Bolsonaro down in Brazil, and a lot of this is coming from China, as I mentioned before, with Truth Social.
Yeah.
Truth Social was started with Chinese money and Russian money, and
because
they're financing Trump
money,
and they're hiding
so
it.
Yep. All this Hunter Biden talk, happy talk about him taking money from China. There's no comparison. Trump is taking much more.
Trump is taking much more from China. Trump Jr. is taking millions of dollars from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
And you see how well of a friend they
and
turned
so
out
Jared.
To be.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
All right. I'm going to end this show here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you brought up a complicated issue because Saudi Arabia and Iran are vying to be the major power in the Middle East. And
yeah.
And even though both are very bad, very corrupt actors, Muslim actors, Iran seems far worse at the moment. But it's a very vague area. We go back and forth. And overshadowing the whole Middle East, the Palestinian question, is this rivalry. Saudi Arabia and Iran are fighting proxy wars all over the Middle East, not just against Israel. So it gets very, that's the other thing that is hard to get a grip on. So anyhow,
uh-huh.
That's what I wanted to say. That's all.
Yeah. Well,
that's
you're
all.
Right. And again, they're both pushing dark money into the process. They're pushing
yep.
dark money in favor of the Palestinians. Iran has
right.
been arming the Palestinians. Iran has also been attacking its neighbors. It attacked Syria the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The day before,
exactly.
it attacked Pakistan. And
yep.
Pakistan has a nuke just as much as Israel does. And
mm-hmm.
so this is all ballooning out of control.
Iran probably has a nuke by now because of Trump. Because
mm-hmm.
of Trump, Iran probably has nuclear weapons now already.
Because
so.
Trump backed out of the nuclear deal with Iran.
Yep. Yep. And the no more inspections.
And this
so.
Is where dark money leads to. And people got
mm-hmm.
to understand that this is an elemental issue with dark money, with Citizens United.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know where the money is
it's
from so that we
correct,
know who they are and what they represent.
Right. Right.
All right. With that, I'm going
right.
to end the show slightly early because I hear you're not talking good, and I actually have to go take a potty break. So,
I've been sick since December 1st. I've been sick since December 1st, and I'm still – no, it's one of those things. It's a bad cold, I guess. That's what they tell me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow,
well, we'll talk about that
anyhow,
after the show,
for,
okay?
Okay. Take care.
All right, then. Have a good time. Have a good night, everybody. And join me next week when the next show is going to be titled We Are Not Free, Part 2. And I will have some guests on for this show. I will talk about that more in the near future. So thanks again for tuning in, and keep watching the news, and be skeptical, because a lot of this bovine
mm-hmm.
manure doesn't need to happen. With that, I will sign off. Have a good night.
Good night.